All right, Hebrews chapter 11. If you would find a place in Hebrews. Excuse me. Chapter 11. Whenever you find that, if you wouldn't mind to stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight, just one verse. That means we'll be 10 minutes, probably. You believe me? Maybe a little longer than that. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be reading verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. God said, go to that place. Where? I'll show you later. Just go. That's what Abraham did. So tonight, the message is this. The Pilgrimage of Faith. Pilgrimage of Faith. Subtitle. You don't need to know where you're going. You just need to know who you're following. You don't need to know where you're going. You just need to know who it is that you're following. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, we're so undeserving, and even as we already sung about, we're prone to wonder. We're prone to leave the God we love. And we're thankful that you're not that way. We're thankful that you're the faithful God. You're the God who loves us. You're the God who's in control. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for that. And thank you for your word. And I pray that you help us, God, as we get into this, that you'd help me, first of all, to explain it in a way that's understandable, but help us all to be ready to obey and follow you, whatever that means. Christ in my prayer, amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. And so Hebrews 11, most of you, if you're Bible readers, know this. It's referred to as the Hall of Faith, or the honor roll of the Old Testament saints, or the faith chapter. There's a lot of names. It's a beautiful chapter, one of my favorite chapters. But just because it's one of those kind of chapters and one that we know well doesn't mean it doesn't exist in context. Just like every passage in our Bible, it sits in a context and is part of a larger flow of thought. And it's in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. Many believe it's Paul, but I don't care, really, to be honest with you. It doesn't tell us who. Really, who wrote it is the Holy Spirit, right, in the end. But whoever the writer of Hebrews was writing to the Hebrews. And we dealt with that, I guess, a couple weeks ago at Sunday school, different one of these testimonies in Hebrews 11. But when we talk about the Hebrews that they wrote to, it's not just any Hebrews, it's specifically the first century Hebrews. The Hebrews, which, by the way, is just the ethnic background of who are the Jewish people, right? It's the Jews. It's the same. It's the first century Jews. And first century Judaism had become a works-based system. First century Judaism is the Judaism that Jesus dealt with. These are the same people, the ones who, by and large, have rejected Christ. And it became Judaism of the first century, really, in a lot of ways, was not pure Judaism. It was not the Judaism of the Old Testament. It had become a Pharisaical, works-based religion, unfortunately. And if you read the Gospels, you know that. Jesus scathed many of the Hebrew and Jewish leaders because of that. God never intended for man to earn God's favor by doing works. God never intended that. God has always been first interested in man's heart. Mankind, listen, has always, from the beginning, mankind has always been made right with God, has always been redeemed by faith. Always. It's always been that way. And that's why in Hebrews 10, just a few verses, actually two verses before our chapter, verse 38, I say Paul, the writer of Hebrews, it does make it easier if you know who it is, so it's not so long, like five syllables, the writer of Hebrews. Is that five? Anyway. He said this in verse 38, and he quoted Habakkuk 2. Now remember, he's writing to the Jews, to the Hebrews. They would have known that he was quoting Habakkuk 2. And so he's using, listen, their own text to show them that it's always been by faith. And so he quotes Habakkuk 2. And verse 38 here, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just, if you want to be just, if you want to be righteous before God, it will be done by faith. But then he continues on, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And so God was constantly rebuking Israel because they would try to keep his commandments of the law, but in their hearts, they didn't want to do them. A lot of the prophets ripped Israel apart. And we understand it's not the prophets, it's God's words through the prophet. But God would say, "You're doing this, you're doing the works, you're showing up to the temple, you're sacrificing, you're observing the holy days, but your heart is not in it. And you live your own life and you don't even think about me, you just do these things, and you think that just because you're doing the things that you and me are right," God says. And God says, "I hate when you do that." God says, "It stinks in my nostrils." He says, when your heart is not close to me, but then you go ahead and burn a sacrifice," he says, "that sacrifice, which is intended to be a sweet-smelling savor, is actually stinks in my nostrils." That's what he says. There's nothing more offensive to God than when man tries to earn his favor. There's nothing more offensive to him. Here's the way it's always worked. We understand we're sinful. That's what the law was intended to show us. We're sinful. And we need a Savior. And so, in the Old Testament, they had faith that the Savior would come. And by faith, we're made righteous. That's what it says in Romans 4, right? When Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And then, because we're right with God, we do the things. That's how it's always been. Faith, and then a natural outpouring of faith, is works with God. You see? All right. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to help them see that the Messiah had come. And his name is Jesus. He's the Messiah that they've been looking for. And he, Jesus, the Messiah, has established a new covenant with man. Remember he said, "This is the new testament in my blood." And testament means covenant. And the old covenant was the covenant that pointed to Christ. And Jesus came and shed his blood and has established a new covenant with man. And now, in verse 38, he's saying this, and into chapter 11, that the way that man enters into that new covenant with God is fundamentally the same way that they entered into the old covenant with God, which is by faith. Okay? How are we doing? So that's where we are in chapter 11. And so now in chapter 11, what he's doing is he wants to explain to them what faith is, because sadly, first century Judaism did not understand fully what faith was. First century Judaism was a Pharisaical works-based system that said, if you do these things, you do the commands of the law, and by the way, they added to the law, and if you do and keep the works of this works-based system, then you will be right with God. And if you're not doing these things, then you're wrong with God. And faith wasn't even part of the equation. And so they were not acquainted with faith. And so Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is trying to help them understand faith. And so we get to verse 1, where he says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, this is not our text, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We could, and if you, those who were at camp, heard Brother Woodcock spend fully loaded messages on that. We're not going to do that today. But let me just tell you this. It's the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? Well, what's the things hoped for? It's the promises of God. It's eternity with God. And he says, it's eternity of God, it's the promises of God, it's everything, listen, it's everything that we're looking forward to. It's everything that God's promised us. And he says it's the substance of things hoped for. And you say, things that we're hoping for don't have substance? It's just in our mind. What is that? Well, here's what he's saying. That faith is the ability to make real things that haven't happened yet. Where we live in a way that things that haven't happened yet, it's as if they already have happened. That's how much, so it's the ability to be convinced that something is going to happen even though it hasn't happened. That's faith. And we make a, listen, we base our life and our eternity on something that hasn't happened yet. And we, hopefully, we live our life and we make our decisions. And the substance has this idea of practical application. And we filter our decisions not by what's happening now, but what's going to happen. And it affects everything we do. And we're convinced. And it hasn't even happened yet. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. We've never seen Christ. We've never seen God the Father with our eyes. We've never seen creation happen. And neither has anybody else. And there's scientists who think they pretty much have figured out. But they've not been there. We haven't seen the flood. All of these things, we haven't seen them. But we believe them as if we had. You see? That's faith. It's the ability to be convinced about something that we have not yet seen and that has not yet happened and that we cannot see. How are we doing? That's faith. But faith, listen, is not just some hunch. It's not just some pie in the sky. It's not just some like, yeah, I think that's how it goes. No, actually, faith is grounded in something. Faith is placed in something. And so the reason why we believe the things we believe is not just because we think it's right. It's actually because we believe in God. And we have faith in God. And we know God exists. And then we know the Word of God. And the Word of God is what we place our faith in. And the Word of God, there's plenty of grounds. There's plenty of evidence. It's very rational to believe fully and be convinced by the Word of God. And so faith, biblically, is, here it is, in a nutshell. We believe what God says, and He does not have to prove it to us. It's proof enough that He said it. That's faith. You see? God said, if you believe in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, if you believe that God Himself became a man, He died on the cross for your sin, He rose on the third day, if you believe that with all your heart and you've repented and asked Him to forgive you, God said your sins are forgiven. You don't deserve it. It's not because you're a good person. God said my sins are forgiven. And God said when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. And I believe it more than I believe these chairs exist. Why? Because God said it. That's faith. And He doesn't have to prove it to us. Well, then what He does is He lists all these Old Testament saints. That's why He does this. And what He's doing is He's giving these Jews, Old Testament heroes of Judaism, who lived by faith. You see? And that's what it all is all about. And we're not going to march through all of them. We're just going to pick out one, which is verse 8. And so the writer says this, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, if you wouldn't mind quickly going to Genesis 12, and there's just three verses that kind of deals with this. But just so you know, this is what exactly the Hebrews that the writer wrote to would have immediately thought of and probably had it memorized. Because this is kind of the beginning of Judaism. This is God calling out Abraham. Abraham being the father of the Jews. And so the idea that the writer is trying to accomplish here is, listen, if Abraham lived by faith, then you should live by faith. I mean, the Jews would have respected Abraham more than anyone, maybe even more than Moses, who knows? Which he deals with Moses too. But anyways, this is the beginning of Judaism, chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's crazy, isn't it? To leave everything you know. By the way, he's 75 at this point. He says, leave everything you know that you've always known. And then I'll tell you where to go after that. You just need to leave at this point. Just follow me, and I'll tell you where to go. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we know, you can turn back to Hebrews 11. We know that promise. We know what happened there. The land that God was going to bring them to was going to be the land of Canaan. And the nation that was going to be brought out of his seed would be the nation Israel. And we know that the way that all the earth would be blessed is Christ himself that came and died for all man. We know that. Abraham didn't know that. In fact, Abraham didn't even see all of these in his lifetime. He saw the land that he would go to, but did you know he never really owned it? He sojourned there. That's actually the next verse, Hebrews 11. He just lived in tents in that place. And so did his son and the son after him. All the land that he owned was the burial plot he bought. That's it. He didn't see his seed be multiplied. He had just one son. And then that continued on. You know, he had Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12, and then on it went. But he didn't see his seed multiply, not in his lifetime. And he definitely didn't see the Messiah come and bless all nations. And so, listen, Abraham left everything. Everything. He left his family. He left his estate. He left, wrapped up in that, is his future and his retirement and all of that. He left his job. He left his friends. He left everybody and everything to follow God. And to go where? I don't know. And then he didn't even see all the promises fulfilled. But he did it by faith. He did it by faith. To forsake his birthplace, his home, his estate. Sever family ties. Leave loved ones. By the way, there was no video chat. Not like, hey family, I'm leaving you, but you know, at least we can call. No, they couldn't. He abandoned everything. He abandoned everything he always known. And he abandoned it all for an uncertain future. That must have been a hard thing for him, you would imagine. But he just did it. The Bible says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And it was immediate. Immediate. And by the way, that's often how decisions of faith look like. Often. Lord, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I know you told me to do it. And so I'm going to trust you. That's a decision of faith. That's how it works. When you know God wants you to do it, and then you do it. All you need is what God said, and you do it. Abraham did not have to be convinced. Abraham did not get to see a picture of Canaan. Abraham did not get to see a picture of the Messiah. He didn't get the whole picture. He didn't get all the details. God didn't have to say, now, Abraham, I want you to go, and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen along the way, and I'll show you exactly how it's all going to work. No, Abraham didn't care about any of that. He didn't care where he was going. All Abraham cared about was who was telling him to go, and it was God, and he obeyed. God, I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I surrender to you. That's faith. I don't know what life really looks like without alcohol, but I'm going to give it up and trust you. I don't know what my life will be like if I decide to give my life to you. I don't know what my life will look like if I get rid of that friend. I don't know. Maybe I can't handle it, but I know that you'll help me. I don't know what life looks like if I trust you with my finances. I don't know. I've always done it this way, but I found out how you want me to do it. And so I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to trust you. I don't know what it's going to be like to raise my kids the way that you've told me to raise my kids. I've raised them like this my whole life, but I'm going to go ahead and make some changes because I want my life to line up with yours. And I'm going to do it not because you, I think you're going to make it all better just because of this, because you told me to. That's faith. God, you told me to, so I'm going to do it. I don't know what it looks like when if I love my enemies. I've always gave them back what they've given me. I've always been vindictive. I've always been crass. I've always been one of those who says, I'm going to tell you what I think. And I don't know what life looks like if I start loving people like you tell me to. If I start being gentle and kind, maybe people will start looking at me like a wimp. Maybe I'll look soft. Maybe people will trample over me. And they might. But we do what God tells us to do. Not because we think it's going to turn out better for us. It didn't turn out better for Abraham as far as this life goes. He went from an estate with a wealthy family, and he lived in a tent the rest of his life. But you know what he did have? God. And his life was better, I promise you, than his family who stayed back. That's faith. This is what it looks like. That's how faith works. But we want more details, don't we? That's who we are. You ever said this or heard this? You know, the worst thing about all of this is I just don't know. Faith doesn't need to know how it all is going to work out. We don't need to know that. Faith just requires one thing. Did God tell me to do this? And I'll do it. We want for God to give us enough information about how this new life with Him is going to work. And He just simply doesn't give it to us. He says, trust me, follow me, and I'll show you where you're going later. But what I need you to do is trust me. Not trust in the details. Not make a decision based on sight, based on evidence that we can see. I need you to base your decision based on things that cannot be seen. And I just need you to trust me. That's what God said. Why didn't God give Abraham more details? I mean, it's not like God didn't know, right? God could have spelled it all out for him. It wouldn't have been a problem for God. It wouldn't have been a hindrance. But God purposefully told him, I want you to leave and go to a place that I'll show you later. He did that on purpose because he wanted Abraham to follow God, not because he thought grass was greener on the other side, but because he thought God is with me on the other side. You see? And that's all we need if we're going to live a life of faith. Now, I'll say this. I imagine his neighbors thought he was totally nuts. Can you imagine? Can you hear him? He's packing up his entire life. Hey, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. You don't know? You're packing up everything. You have like 18 camels. 19, okay. But the Tim was there. He's old enough. You, let's back up. Sorry. Anyway, I'm 31. I'm pretty old. Okay, so Abraham, you're packing up all this stuff. You have everything you've ever owned on camels or whatever. And you don't know where you're going? No, I don't know where I'm going. Well, who told you to go? God. God did. Well, Abraham, did he even tell you like where you're going? Did he tell you why you're going? I don't really know all of that. Well, Abraham, this is a big decision, and this doesn't make any sense. And Abraham says, well, actually, it makes perfect sense. What are you talking about? Well, God told me to go, so I'm going. It made total sense to Abraham. Didn't make sense to his family. You know why? Because they were pagan. And they worshiped gods that didn't exist. And they had to pretty much figure out their life and have all their ducks in a row. Because they didn't believe in a God who was personal. They didn't believe in a God who was in control. They didn't believe in a God who can take care of them. They said they did, but they, in their heart, knew they were fake gods. And so everything had to be lined up perfectly in order for this decision to be right. But Abraham didn't think that way. Abraham said, God told me, and so I'm going. Why is that? Well, there's some things you need to know about God. Number one is this: God is sovereign. What does that mean? That's not a scary word theologically. It just means this: God can do whatever he wants. He's God. And so when God says, do this, we are obligated as his creatures to do that because he's God. We don't, in America, understand sovereignty as much as other nations, but if the king of England 500, 600 years ago says, you do this, you don't need to ask questions. He doesn't have to prove it to you. He doesn't have to say, well, you know, the reason I want you to do this is because if you do this and that, then eventually it's going to work out for you. If you asked him all of that, you would just die, probably. Because he's sovereign. He can do what he wants. And when he asks, you get true. He's not asking. Our God does ask. I'm thankful we have a God who loves. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. But the king doesn't ask, the king tells. And if you have an issue with that, then you have two options. You can do it and have a bad attitude, or you can be put in prison or beheaded or something like that. Because he's sovereign. And that's a man. We're talking about the Creator. And when he says to do something, our only appropriate response is, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yeah. So he's sovereign. But also, and Abraham understood that, but also Abraham understood the character of our God. And our God, listen, our God will always act consistent with his character. What do you mean? God is good always. And there is not a time that he's not good. And so what does that mean? That means the things he does are good. That means the things he wants you to do are good. God loves me always. And there's never a time he doesn't love you. God knows best always. Even when you don't understand, you can always understand this. God knows best. And he knows more than you. He knows everything. And so, what wouldn't make sense, knowing who our God is, here's what wouldn't make sense for Abraham to do. God, I know what you want me to do, and I know exactly what it is that you want me to do. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make sense. Knowing who our God is, because if you know who our God is, and you know what he wants you to do, you know, first of all, it's your responsibility. You know it's going to be good. You know it's in your best interest. You know it's the best thing for you. Why would we not just obey? And so what makes sense is, this is how we live our life. God told me, and so I'm doing it. I remember when God called me to preach. And I was in the middle of a mechanical engineering degree that was fully paid for. And I had just finished 1 year at Arizona State University, fully paid for. In fact, I paid $1, so, in my first year. I don't know how that worked out, but that's how it worked out. And they sent me a bill for $1. So, anyway. I remember that. And I liked it. I thought it was going to be cool to be a mechanical engineer. I had friends who their job was to drive a tank and make sure it was as best as it could be and see if we can improve it any better. I had another friend who his job was to design basically real-life duck hunt for police officers, and it was pretty cool. And I was looking forward to it. I'm a dork. You know me. If you know me, you know I'm a total loser dork with math and physics and chemistry. I love it. So I loved it. But between my freshman and sophomore year at Arizona State, I know that God called me to preach. I'm not going to get into the details just for sake of time, but God called me to preach. And it was after camp, and we were giving camp testimonies in the choir loft, just like we do here. And I was sitting on the edge, and I was the first one to give testimony because everyone else didn't want to get up. You know how it is. So I got up and gave testimony. I was a counselor at camp that year. I gave testimony. God worked in my heart. But at that point, he had called me to preach. I sat back down, and people were giving testimony. And I know right there, in that seat, I know God said, I want you to go to Bible college. I knew it. I knew it. So I got up and I told the church, I'm going to go to Bible college. And that night, I got on Arizona State website and I canceled the scholarship. And I got on Heartland Baptist Bible College's website and figured out what it took to go there. And the school called me like 3 or 4 times. Are you sure about this? Are you sure you want to give this up? I said, listen, here's all I know. Because God wants me to go to Bible college. God wants me to preach. And in my mind, it made perfect sense. God told me to go. And so I'm going. Not everybody felt that way. There are some people in my life that were like, you are an idiot. No, they told me that. They said, you're an idiot. You're giving up at least $50,000, $60,000 worth of education because you think God called you to go to Bible college? I said, no, I know God called me to go to Bible college. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. Well, where are you going to preach? I don't know. If God said, I'm going to call you to Fall City. Yeah, that would have really done it for me. Okay, yeah. What I'm going to do is, I didn't know any of that. I have family, and I'm not going to list names or even relation, but that told me, you are making a huge mistake. Why? Because they needed to line up, and they needed details, and they needed to know what this all looks like. Our God doesn't work that way. And so, here I am. Now, I haven't said a lot about all that's happening right now at our church. And on Sunday, it was not the time. Like, sometimes it's best to say nothing. And so I wasn't going to say anything. But first of all, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. I've only known about this for a couple weeks, tops. I don't know, first of all, if it will happen. It could be that pastor goes there, he preaches, and somehow they all say, actually, no. Is that going to happen? Who knows? We don't know. And then he comes back, and continues on. But I do know this. Here's what I know. Can I tell you what I know? That up to where we are now, God is doing this. God is doing something. Whatever it is, I don't know. But God is, at this point, here's where we are as a church. God says, I want you to go, and I'll tell you where it is later. And that's where we are. We don't know. We can, in a year's time, it could be just like it has been. But we don't need to know where we're going. Here's what we need to know, the one we're following. I'll tell you, I don't know, if this all plays out, and our pastor is a pastor in Arizona in a few months, I don't know a lot of things. I don't know what happens with our music ministry. I don't know what happens with our youth ministry. I don't know. There's a lot of things that Pastor Miss Melissa do that people have asked me, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't need to know. All of that doesn't matter. Here's what I need to know. Is God doing this? Yes. And you know what else we know about this? It's going to be good. Do you know why? Because our God is good. Do you know what is going to happen? It's going to be the best thing for us. Well, how do you know that, Brother Chad? You think you're an awesome preacher? No, I do not. But I just know who our God is. And I just know that if God wants me here, then this is where I'll be. And that's okay with me. Whatever it is that God wants to do, I'm ready to do it. And God is doing something. And here's what God wants from all of us. God's doing something in the Moore's life. I'll tell you this. I know Pastor very well. I don't know if there's anyone I know better than him other than my wife. I know my wife very well. I know Pastor Moore second very well. And here's what I know about him. He did not ever, 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 ever want to leave. Ever. Still doesn't in his heart if it was up to him. We've told each other about a billion times. I hope this is like this forever. I hope it is. And I was okay with that, and he's okay with that. But God's doing something in him. What it is, I don't know. But what he needs, where he needs to be, is God, whatever you want me to do. That's what we need him to do. Because, listen, that's the only thing that makes sense. That's the only question we need answered right now. God, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. That's where I need to be. In fact, again, just for sake of time, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I learned about this at the tail end of a 2 weeks in Children's Hospital. And you know what I learned for 2 weeks at Children's Hospital? Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm doing it. I don't know what's going to happen with Nora. I don't know if she's going to, what's going to happen. I don't know. But here's what I do know. God does. And these are the times where that matters. And do you believe that or not? And if God's doing this, then it's all going to be fine in the end. Because our God is good. Yep. And not only is it going to be fine, but we should be excited about what God's going to be doing. Why? Because if God is doing it, that is exciting, no matter what it is. So that's where I need to be. But God's not just working at Pastor's heart and life and my heart and life. He's working in all of your hearts and lives. And here's what God wants from you. Here's what God's doing in you. Just trust me. Just trust me. I'll show you later. All those questions in your mind. God says, I'll show you later. Forget about those. I can handle it. Trust me. That's what God wants you to do. And listen, if every member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church is ready to do anything God wants them to do because they know who our God is and they're ready to follow, you could just imagine what God's going to do at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Whether it goes the way we're thinking or it doesn't. Whatever's happening here needs to be in our heart to say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter where I'm going. What matters is who I'm following. And that's our God. And that's in this situation, but this needs to be our life. This is the way we live. God told me, I do it. God told me, I do it. Now find out what God said. Don't just do stuff because you think it's what God says. You find out and you make sure that that's where the struggle is. That's where the work comes. Make sure you know what God says. Make sure you get in the Word of God and understand what God expects. But whenever God says you do this, and you know, listen, you know it's God, then you do it. And you don't need to ask anyone's permission. You don't need to try to figure it out. If you know what God says, you do it. And if you get that figured out in your life, it's incredible what God can do. God used murderers to write the Word of God. You know what they did? They said, whatever God wants, I'm going to do. And God used them in mighty ways. And God can use you in a mighty way. And God wants to use you in a mighty way. Not because you're awesome, not because you have a lot of abilities, not because you're charismatic, not because of your personality, but because you surrendered to say, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And that's what we need to live. Because it doesn't matter where you're going. It matters who you're following. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for who you are, primarily. Lord, we're thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you're in control of all things. We're thankful, God, that you know what's best and you want what's best for us. And Lord, we don't deserve that. Lord, what we deserve is your judgment, and that's it. But we're thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord, and your desire for us to follow you. And we're thankful for the thoughts that you have toward us, as your word says, our thoughts of peace. We're so undeserving. Thank you. Lord, help us to fall in love with you. Help us to develop our relationship with you. And help us to decide by faith, fully convinced, that whatever you ask is best and will follow. We love you. Bless you, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together for the job.